Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
His DVD collection looked beautiful.
But right now, and you're kind of envious with that, right?
Well, I'm envious because if you can bring that much control and detail into your fun life.
Mike threw a hook in the water and pulled a huge fish out, just what he was looking for.
I'm talking totally naked.
Well, I don't think that's appropriate.
Twig and berries rubbing on the sheets.
Where'd you get the nickname Skids?
We got to wash the sheets
new
again.
New Skids sheets. Hi, I'm Mike O'Mara. You know what? Sleeping was a hassle. That's why I invented Skids.
Are they disposable sheets?
They are now. The one and done sheet.
Anyone can pick up a basketball and play. Like, anybody can do all that, but...
Well, not your dad, Robert.
Yeah, everyone but my dad, but...
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Do you remember how we used to have a process that was kind of directed at other people about reinforcing our start time? Please confirm. What didn't we do last night?
Well...
We did not send out a thing,
but we did close the show by saying see you at 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Doesn't matter, though, right? Because this is a classic example.
Because 9 a.m. is kind of standard. This is a classic example, yes.
But with changing times, as we do occasionally during the summer, and that's why one of us, he who complains the loudest about lack of communication, got it wrong.
Yes.
And thought we were taping at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
We may still be taping at 3, so we'll see.
My God,
if the show goes on. Matt, can you move that cursor for me? Thank you, buddy.
So I just wanted to point that out. The guy that kind of set that up, we didn't do it. We should always do it for everybody.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's important.
I agree.
It's just a protocol. I have a small mind. I really do. I have a small mind because I think I'm overly superstitious and I'm susceptible, as I think many, many radio people are, and many broadcasters in general, susceptible to just my mind going off in a different direction.
Okay.
It's why I think you get people that are great at conspiracy theories, because they don't, they really just, they buy anything.
Sure.
I'm sitting there not 2 minutes ago, and I do what's called a one sheet, and I go over the one sheet with Rob or Oscar or both of them. And then I print it out, and it's just an outline for every day's show.
Right.
I don't always use it. I certainly don't rely on it, but I have it.
Oftentimes, our best shows are when we don't even touch it.
That's right. And it's kind of a security blanket that I have for the show. And I've had it for, it's just the way I operate.
Yeah,
it's
all the time.
When I went to work with Kirk McEwen, he didn't do that. And it was, thank you. It was just odd for me because I couldn't imagine walking into a studio and not having sort of framework.
His theory was to wing it?
He was a wing it guy, and he's good at it. I mean, he's a good broadcaster. Mm-hmm. He can handle anything. But he didn't, you know, it was just different. But I'm over right before the show, and I print it out. And I have to get up from my studio chair, disconnect from my monitors, and I have to go to the printer. And then I lean over, and I put my hand on this giant table that I sit in front of.
Yes.
And I'm getting the credit. And then as I'm doing that, I'm all by myself in the house.
Right.
Much less the studio. And as I'm doing that, the table lurches. It lurches like somebody may have kicked it or somebody may have shoved it. It doesn't lurch.
It's now, an amazingly heavy table. It should stay put.
I can only think maybe it was on a cable, and because of the slight pressure, it was all I needed. But the table lurched.
Not mice.
And I have believed since we got into this house, which is in a relatively new development.
Don't say it, Mike.
Not, as far as I am concerned, built on any kind of burial ground that I am aware of.
Don't say it.
I have no idea what could have caused that movement. I truly, truly don't. I have no idea. It was weird, and it happened 5 seconds before we came on to see you.
You covered it well. You covered it well. I didn't see you flip out. But
and I have to talk about it because it absolutely freaked me out. And I will tell you that both Carla and I have, on a regular basis, perceived in our peripheral vision regular motion that doesn't make a lot of sense. The last one being my son was sound asleep, and I saw a shadow in the hallway. Like a, and that time it was not peripheral. I was looking directly at it.
Mike, say it. You live in a haunted house.
I believe that there is something in this house that's not necessarily of this earth.
You know, the WJFK, which was in Fairfax, was in a part of a very old battlefield area for the Civil War.
And there the greatest ghost story that I've ever had in my career came from Joe Artinger.
Yes.
Who said one night when he was doing the overnight shift,
yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A soldier. He saw a soldier.
The outline of a soldier standing in front of the car. Mm-hmm.
And for years, I saw a zombie at WJFK, but it turned out to be Liddy.
Gordon Liddy. I will hold my hand over this flame. But I don't look. I feel the same way about that kind of thing as I do about religion,
yeah.
As I do about extraterrestrials. I believe it is... you know, your right to believe, and if your faith serves you well in things, that's fine. Or if you have a theory that has not been totally disproven, onward.
Yeah.
I think you're ridiculous.
Did you feel it at all?
Something down out of hand.
In your previous house? Did you feel it all in your previous house?
Not one little
So bit. It didn't follow you. This is native
and
to
that
this
was,
house.
That was a post-Civil War house that yeah. I was in.
I'm wondering.
In Manassas.
I'm wondering, do you ever feel any of that when you're in your family house in Maine? Because that's another old house that has a lot of inhabitants.
That was more of a, what's the word I'm looking for as far as when somebody tells a story down through the generations?
Like a legend?
It was, there's a word for it. I don't have it. Somebody will put it up on the show post 10 days later.
Yeah.
It is a rhetorical story, perhaps. Is that what I'm looking for?
Perhaps.
It is a story that is told of Mr. Clark, who... my family home that I no longer own,
right
in Maine, was owned by my father, his sister, and his brother, the
okay.
three siblings.
Right,
and if you want to put a little something in back of this, it could work. A
yes,
little,
scary.
And then we'll turn it off as soon okay. as we start it because I'll get bored with it.
Okay.
The family home, the way the story goes,
yes.
I believe this is my maternal. My paternal grandmother's brother.
So your dad's grandmother's brother.
My father's mother's brother
mm-hmm.
had made money off a thing called, I think it was called Red Jacket Bitters. Which
yes,
was
I remember this.
A tonic back in the day that did very, very well, and they made a fortune on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have been booze, and it might not have been booze, but I think it had a lot of booze in it, and that's why it was popular. And, you know, people had it as far as a... made them feel good.
Bitters right? was very popular during the Prohibition because it could be marketed as medicinal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, yeah. Thank you. All right, so that's kind of where it was. All right, now I'm bored with the music
right.
already.
I thought it was nice.
So, you made it a cartoon Scooby-Doo.
Well, no,
it was cartoon Scooby-Doo.
It was
music.
The Haunted Mansion from Disney.
But that's...
that's what you're talking about, ghosts.
All right, well, let's not digress.
All right.
I'm telling a ghost story.
Yes.
So the ghost story goes that the home that we originated was... And people in the Spokane area and listeners that we have out there mm-hmm. might be interested to know that the Sheehan's, which was the maiden name of my maternal grandmother...
And Bill Sheehan, your
paternal,
uncle.
Paternal grandmother. Damn it.
And Bill Sheehan is your uncle.
Yes, cousin, more like
okay,
a cousin.
Okay, forgive me.
So they had an orchard in Washington State,
mm-hmm.
and it was very dry, and it was very arid in this part of the state of Washington, and it was not good the way the story goes. And I could be, if Teddy was on right now, he might be absolutely poking holes in it, and maybe
okay.
we could get Teddy. He's now the only family historian we have. and he might be better at it.
Okay.
He cares about it and he pays attention to it. His health warranted a doctor recommended move to a more moist and cool climate.
Okay, that makes sense.
In fact, a climate that was the climate that was described that would be best for him was the Maine coast climate.
That and that makes sense because a lot of times people are told to move to Arizona for the warmth and dryness,
yeah.
But he was the other direction.
Now, you would think that in the Pacific Northwest, you'd be able to go an hour and get to that. But the way it worked, it was a trade. And the way it worked was they traded this orchard farm in Washington State to this mansion cottage in the state of Maine.
Okay.
And Mr. Clark was a very wealthy businessman who owned the house in Maine. And the house that was built in the very, very early part of the 1900s, mm-hmm. I think maybe 1903 comes to mind,
okay,
was so advanced at the time, it even had an electric intercom system that was run through the house. So
way
if you
ahead
went
of
into
its
my,
time. Yeah.
I think I showed it to you in the kitchen mm-hmm. where I showed you that that monitor that had Mr. Clark's room,
yes.
Mrs. Clark's room,
very cool.
Kitchen, pantry.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't even that big a house. I think it was more electronics for electronics' sake in
sure.
this house because the house was big, but it wasn't that big. So they traded it, and it still had the Mr. Clark stuff, but it became my family's house.
Right.
That's how my dad inherited it. That's how it happened. And it had, the spinster aunts that raised my father after his mother died,
mm-hmm.
and Mr. Clark went out to Washington State. Here's how the story goes. The story goes that Mr. Clark was out in San Francisco on business, and the story says he was carrying a rather significant amount of cash,
mm-hmm.
and he went missing. And no one knew where he went missing. However, they found his hat that I think had a monogram on it
mm-hmm.
on the inside in San Francisco Bay. So they obviously suspected foul play.
Yeah.
But he was never seen. They never recovered a body. They never found him. They never. Flash forward to I don't know how many years forward. One of my aunts is sitting on the front porch in Maine. And from out of the tree line comes an older gentleman with kind of a scraggly beard and kind of looking like somebody that's a homeless person,
right?
Not very well to do. Walking out of the woods, and he does not see my aunt, but my aunt sees him, and he is looking up and down as though he is examining the house. He's just checking it out.
Already, that's a little creepy.
It's super creepy. And it's on the tree line. She gets up, still not seen by him. She's kind of looking around the corner and seeing him on the tree line. And if you know the porch where you sat,
you
kind of go around that left side of the house,
sure.
and there's a grove of pine.
I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
She goes in to tell everybody. She comes back out. He's gone. Never to be seen again. So whenever a door would close, whenever anything would happen, we would always say, that's Mr. Clark. Because it was the ghost, and nobody ever knew, and that was the story. It could have been anybody.
Makes sense.
Could have
though.
Been an old man coming out of the. But that's,
you would. But I mean, that is such a close knit small community.
You never.
You would know the guy if.
Well, it's also if you want to read about the U-boat, but
that's a good story. I like
put
that.
Put in just Google U-boat Hancock, Maine,
mm-hmm.
Hancock Point, Maine, U-boat.
And that's the one you sank, right?
That's the one that my babysitter sank, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Mrs. Forney, Mommy Forney, as we called her. And that's a great story, too. But that's it. I wanted to share that, and I digressed because we have a very, very, very special Talking Head segment on the show today.
Yes, I agree.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to welcome today Robert Spiewak III.
Yay!
That's right. He has he is 20 years old, and he has there he is, and with short hair now. Hi, Robert.
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
But he has listened his entire life. Well, he had no choice. He's your son. Currently, he is on summer vacation. He is a rising junior at West Virginia University, where he is studying communications with an area of emphasis on research. His passion, MMA, mixed martial arts.
True.
He does not compete. But this summer, he launched MMA Night Feed, where he covers
Fight
and
feed.
Blogs. What's that?
Fight Feed.
I thought I said that.
You said Night Feed.
Oh, MMA Fight Feed.
Yes.
Where he covers and blogs about the world in and out of the octagon. You can check it out and subscribe at...
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
Shut up. Why is my Siri... I tell you, there's a ghost in here today. I didn't touch anything.
I thought it was Oscar for a second.
It's MMA Fight Feed.
Yes.
On Instagram and TikTok at MMA Fight Feed and MMAFightFeed.com. It's your go-to source for UFC news, highlights, and behind-the-scenes details on your favorite fighters. In a weird turn of events, he was actually fathered by one of the three TMOS principals. Which one? I have no idea. Intrigued you should be now. Here's Robert. Robert, the hair is short. The last time I saw you, it was super long. How are you, young man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's great to see you. Great to have you on the show. Amazing to see when some of our kids come in here and they're all grown up. My daughter just turning 26.
Yeah.
So MMA, as soon as Rob mentioned this to me, I said, I'd love to get you on. I'm not an expert on it by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm fascinated by it. I've always preferred it since it came into since its inception. I've always preferred it to boxing. My favorite part of MMA would probably be they now would be retro fights with like Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm, just because it's very, very cool. The modern MMA, which is still enormously popular, people like Conor McGregor and all the stars, is just phenomenal to watch. It really is. So how did you get into it? How did you become fascinated with it? Have you done this? Have you been into this for a long time?
Yeah, I've been into MMA and like the UFC for a couple of years now. I love, like, don't get me wrong, I still love football and basketball and stuff, but I love the idea of a sport where I'm not supporting a jersey and I'm supporting a person.
Yep.
Cause these guys go out there and they like put everything on the line to entertain us. And I love that. A big reason I got into it as well, though, is I struggled to get an internship this summer, and I knew I like needed to work on like some areas of myself, like writing, research, marketing, because I knew they'd be super helpful for me the next couple years in school and just life in general. So I thought creating a website or Instagram where I can, you know, market, research, and write about something I genuinely really like, I thought be a good idea, and I could have a lot of fun doing it and gain a lot of experience.
Robert, yeah, I got to ask you, I think a lot of people know as listening to you grow up on the show, and I was certainly around, you were a big wrestling fan for a long time.
I remember. Yeah. Didn't we go to wrestling one time with him?
I believe so.
Tugboat, back when he was
It was a
child.
Long time ago. When did wrestling feed this fascination at all?
I think it did, just because there's a realness behind this.
Right.
I don't watch WWE anymore, but I like respect what
good
they do.
Good for you.
They because they still like put their bodies on the line and they entertain us, but there's like a story behind that. But that's all like, you know, created. This is, you know, a realness behind it where
as real as it gets.
Real people
as
wanting
combat
to fight
sports,
each other,
right?
Real
right.
problems with each other, like real history with each other. It's nothing that's like produced artificially, like it all just comes. And I just love it. It's so entertaining.
I think next to bare knuckle boxing or fighting, I think bare knuckle is kicking and punching. But next to that, there's nothing more intense than the MMA. And, there have been reality television shows about it. The training during your research and your deep dive into MMA. So you start out as kind of a fan. That's where it comes from. Then you do a deep dive on it. What would be the number one thing you learned about MMA that was really, not necessarily a surprise, but something that really wowed you, that you really weren't quite aware of?
Something that I wasn't quite aware of, and, you know, I think I had an idea about it, and so will you guys, but the fact that, like, anyone can pick up a basketball and play, like, anybody can do all that, but...
Well, not your dad, Robert.
Yeah, everyone but my dad. But with this, there is such like an immense skill gap that like it doesn't matter who you are. Like you could be 6'8", 200 like 80 pounds, you know, ex-football player, whatever, you do not stand a chance against any of these people. They have dedicated their lives to this and really dedicated their lives to just hurting themselves and hurting other people, which is just crazy. Like, you got to be insane to do that. And like,
right.
I mean, you know that they're insane just to hop in the octagon, but like actually researching and hearing about these guys' camps and stories is just so fascinating, because to be in their position and literally almost like die every time they fight is just insane to me. Like last week at UFC 290, there was a fighter named Dan Hooker who surprisingly won, which not a lot of people expected. Mid-fight, he broke an orbital bone and broke his arm mid-fight early on in a three-round fight, 5 minutes each, fought to the end and won, which is just like,
God.
It's just inspiring at the same time, because it's like, they never give up. Like, when you're losing in football or basketball, there's still like that sense, like, you know, there's no point. Like,
you said something, I want to interrupt you, because you said something I found really, really fascinating. You said, these guys have dedicated themselves to hurting themselves.
Yes.
And hurting it, which is there's just no way with the training, with any of the fights, that, you know, outside of a 10-second knockout, that you're going to get away unscathed. And there are very, very few examples of a guy that makes his way through the ranks of MMA without sustaining some damage. Is there any kind, in your opinion, and you've done a deep dive into this, is there any kind of personality type or upbringing, or, you know, like we talk about being broken in the business of
sure.
broadcasting.
A common thread.
Is there any common thread? Are these guys from, you know, bad backgrounds, or what? Or what have you learned from it?
Something that I've learned is, so Conor McGregor, who you guys definitely know, he right. changed the entire way the UFC works and functions. Because though it's still about the fights and, you know, the entertainment of each fight, he brought to the table something that no one else was, is he was able to sell a fight like nobody else could. Mm-hmm. What these people do to sell their fights is insane. Like, he'll make it so personal between everybody, because he's so cocky. It's like he plays this character, like going back to WWE, where these guys, the character that they play is like, it's kind of exaggerated, because they know that they need to do whatever it takes to sell the fights. Because obviously, the more pay-per-view buys, the more money they make.
But are these guys, the question I was asking, the personality, because Conor McGregor is a great example.
Yeah.
I observe Conor McGregor, and I'm looking at somebody that, in my opinion, on the surface, nuts. Totally nuts.
100%.
Right? Wing nuts. And you say these guys dedicate their lives to, I love that line, hurting themselves and hurting others. Are these guys, what's wrong with these guys? That's what I would ask the question. Because yeah. really, well, it is, you're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You're going to get, you know, it's unbelievable brutality. And of course, I believe the human condition is such that I will sit down and watch an MMA fight. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I'll watch a hockey fight too.
Be sorry about that. That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, but I mean, we're animals and we watch that. But these guys that put themselves in there, nuts, abused, broken, what's the deal with these guys? You've watched a lot of
these
guys.
I think all of them are nuts, every single one. There's very few that actually do it just, you know, because they're really good at it. My favorite fighter, Bo Nickel, you know, he's a four-time All-American, four-time Big Ten champ. He won the NCAA tournament 3 times, all in wrestling. He's one of the greatest of all-time wrestlers. And
a lot of those guys make the pivot from genuine college wrestling to MMA, right?
The real deal. I wouldn't say he's nuts, because he's really dedicated his whole life to wrestling. And wrestling is, in my opinion, one of the most, like probably the most useful thing you can have in the octagon.
The ground game. The ground game, right?
This guy he's 5-0 now, I think. Yeah, he's 5-0, and he's never had a fight go out of the first round. No one's done damage to him yet. He's unstoppable.
And does he get his opponents on the ground right away?
instantly. This fight, okay. Last weekend, he changed it up and did something no one expected. He showcased his striking, which was nice to see because he's like the hottest person in the game. He's like a blue chip prospect. Like everyone looks forward to his fights, me included. But he showcased his hands. He went against this guy named Val Woodburn, who stepped in last minute with no team. He's just really a nobody who just came in and fought this guy. Like, you know, he had to be nuts as well.
So but cool talking to
just
you
came
about
in
this,
and dominated so him. Cool, like, bro. It was 38 seconds, knocked him out just like that. And he's not even he's not a boxer. He doesn't do jujitsu. He's a wrestler. And he's doing that to people on like in a main card in a sold out.
I just want to say it is so cool. You know, remembering when you were on your papa's shoulders that I am sitting here having a conversation about one of your passions and you're doing a great job articulating it as a 20-year-old young man about this. It's so cool that you're following your passion with this and you're talking about something like I feel like I'm listening to a guy on ESPN talking about MMA. You know, it's just
from your lips to God's ears.
No, it's just fun to listen to him talk about that. How about the women's game? I mean, I just find that fascinating that, you know, you look at a kick from Holly Holm, which knocked out Ronda Rousey, mm-hmm. and then probably one of the most viewed fights of all time in MMA. That's still more popular than ever, too, right? The women are still a big draw.
Yeah, women, it's just. Even though, like you're saying, Ronda Rousey's like the pioneer of women's MMA. Or
not
MMA.
In it anymore, but she was.
Yeah, right. She was. She put it on the map. And I'm really liking what I've been seeing. Amanda Nunes, she just retired. She's debatably, honestly, not even debatably, she is the greatest of all time in women's MMA. She was the double champ. She just retired at UFC 289. You know, she... getting older, she destroyed Irene Aldana, who's, you know, she's the real deal, and she just had nothing left to do. She dominated everybody and she just had to call it quits. I actually have heard recently that Ronda Rousey might be coming back.
Oh, that'd be big
for a fight with Holly Holm, actually.
Oh my god, that would be huge.
That would be huge for the MMA, especially with what's going on with all these new promotions. Like there's this new company called the PFL. It's like the Professional Fighters League. They are doing a boxing match with Tyson Fury and Francis Ngannou. And Francis Ngannou is an ex UFC guy. He had some problems with like the management, the way things were run, just like based off money, because, you know, he's a superstar. He thinks he should be getting paid more. And if he thinks
and this is a boxing league that they're starting.
This is all sorts of fighting. They'll do events where it's like they'll have Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, boxing, MMA. Like it just depends on whatever the fighters agree to.
And these are people that are are they by and large people that kind of splintered off from Dana White because they didn't like the way he ran the operation?
Yeah, Tyson Fury is he's the heavyweight champ right now. I couldn't tell you the promotion he's the champion for, but he's the real deal. He was the one that had that... that trilogy with Deontay Wilder, which was pretty big a couple of years ago.
As far as the regular MMA, what's the next big fight coming up with that? Fight.
UFC 291 is going to be nuts. It is probably the most stacked card the company's ever put together. It has names that everyone would know. Like one of my favorite fighters, Justin Gaethje, is fighting Dustin Poirier in the main event for the BMF
Poirier's
title.
Poirier's an animal.
He is. Yeah, yep. He is. And I'm scared for that fight because I love Gaethje. I really don't want to see him like lose or anything. Yeah, so they're going against they're fighting each other for the BMF title, which was a title created actually for this fight a couple years ago. It was against Jorge Masvidal. And Nate Diaz.
What is the BFA? What is that?
Can I curse on
here? Sure, if you have to.
Yeah, baddest motherfucker.
Oh my! Oh, BMF.
Yeah,
that's the title. But it's an unofficial title, obviously. Yeah, they're not putting that on a belt.
I don't see that on my description on DirecTV.
Right. Right, exactly.
Where'd you learn that word, Robert? That's horrible.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard that before. So sorry.
Trying to get me not to cuss on this show. Look what your son comes in and does.
I know, shock jock.
So that's the... When's that one? Do you know what date that is? When are we getting that one?
July 28th. I'd have to double check.
Just around the corner.
At the end of this month. Yeah, it's going to be a really, really big one. I think it might break records with pay-per-view sales.
Do you see your love of MMA and doing what you're doing right now? Do you think it's something you could get deeper into? Or is this just a stepping stone because you have your interest here to doing other stuff? How do you look at it?
Right now, I'm just feeling everything out. All of this is really new to me, and I'm also doing everything 100% by myself. And, you know, it's pretty hard, you know, like writing articles, like staying active on Instagram, staying up to date with news. It gets difficult, and I'm a one-man show. So I'm just feeling it out right now, and hopefully it continues to grow. Like, I had a really good day yesterday. I got, like, 100 followers just, like, in one day, which was huge.
You're going to get more today, pal. You're going to get more today.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. And I really want to feel it out. There's this guy named Ariel Helwani. He's someone I really look up to. Not a lot of fighters hate him just because he's kind of a scumbag. But
I think I'm going to go on a limb here. I think you're going to get 10 to 15 followers today.
15? Yeah, look out.
From being on the show.
No, let's make it competitive. And they got to beat 15 now. Or
okay. So. They don't beat 15. You let me know. Okay.
And that's MMA Fight Feed. Okay, folks.
And that sound you'll hear will be, you know, Uncle Mike crying in the corner.
I try and do like an article, like a little current event once a week on MMAFightFeed.com as well. It's on the back there.
All right. Let me give you the plug again if you want to go to it. Hold on a second.
It's MMAFightFeed.com.
MMAFightFeed.com. Good. I mean, you got the domain. That's really good.
Built his own website.
What's crazy is I had a dream about making all this after it was UFC 289, actually the one Amanda Nunez retired at. I had a dream that I was just doing it, and it was like a huge thing, and it was just called MMA Fight Feed, and like the logo.
Have you been to a live one?
No, but I would kill to go to one of my friends.
If there's anybody in our audience that in any way could help this young man, a single ticket okay with you? Are you okay with a single ticket? If you get this man a ticket, I would consider it a personal favor to get him to an MMA event. All right? I mean, he's listen to how he knows all about it. And
reach
stuff.
out to me, rob@michaelmarishow.com. Yeah.
I love when somebody pursues their passion like this. It's a lot of fun, and obviously it's, you know, teaching you all about how to do, you know, online stuff, and it's you're good at it.
As I said, Mike, he built his own website, and my kids have never let me look at their schoolwork. Julia has papers that I've asked to read. She won't let me do it. Now I get to read.
Because they're all about you.
It is, yeah, and also the problems, the multifold problems. But Robert is an excellent writer, and he also has the input, and the videos and stuff he curates are really fun. It's very cool.
Yeah. Now, don't spend your time on something like this and stay out of that fraternity crap. OK, that crap is not going to improve your life one iota. All right. In fraternities, you have about two guys out of a whole frat that'll be overachievers. The rest of them are just going to be walking around going
50 grit bunch.
That's right. And the majority of them are going to graduate with a degree. They don't know what to do. I remember that. I remember when the flounder jumped out of the second story window. It was great. Bun. Yeah, that's right. Bun. So, as far as how do you finding WVU a good experience? You enjoying yourself there?
Oh, yeah. I'm loving it. I finally have that balance because I'm sure you guys know I was struggling my freshman year.
Yeah, but you bounced back. Yeah, Rob told us you bounced back a lot, too.
Yeah, I had all the issues this year with the house, but now I'm with a good roommate. My grades are good. You know, I'm back at a 3.0. I should be back on my scholarships next semester.
Robert, hot tip. Now is when you say hi to your girlfriend.
Hi, Blake.
Why? No, what are you talking about?
No.
That was, he was doing great. What do you mean now's when you say hi to your girlfriend?
Because this is a big deal probably, and she's going to want to be mentioned.
Don't listen to your father. Listen to me. I know better than that. I have failed in relationships, but you don't. The girlfriend is the girlfriend, you know?
Hey, look who's here.
She won't be here in a cup of coffee. You keep doing your thing.
Do your thing. Yeah. The 3.0. What's wrong with you, father? What is wrong with you,
Mike? Yeah, it's only an 80-minute show.
You don't always marry the first girl you kiss, Rob.
I know, but
exactly. And this man, look at him. He's got. You do the Oscar Santana. Yeah. You wait till you're 35.
Yeah, wait
before you even make a final decision. Yeah.
And when they tell you they can't get pregnant, don't believe them.
All I'm saying is a hello was nice. He's not getting down on his knee with a ring.
Yeah.
Well, hello. He's probably going to say that. I didn't ask him to say it. Does Dad like the girlfriend? Is Dad a fan of the girlfriend?
Does. Yeah, I thought it was fun. Yeah, that's true.
Don't make this ugly.
Okay,
I won't. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say anything.
The 3.0 from where you were is the win-win.
He's a sensational kid. I love him so much.
It's like impossible to believe for me from where I was 2 years ago.
Man. Can I tell you honestly? I remember, and I think when we were talking about you having your issues, I might have talked about, I put a call into my mom and dad in my freshman year, Robert, where I took a course called Intro to Philosophy, and I called them up from Marist College, and I said, I am not college material. And I do not think for a second that I'm alone in that, where people get to that level and you experience the reality of that jump in academics. It's natural. And especially
since his whole senior year was stolen from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of COVID.
Not having school for 2 years to go into college lectures at WVU, which I was really not prepared for. It took me 2 years to get prepared for everything and come back from it.
All right. But I'm going to give you a piece of this is my fantastic job. Can I give you some constructive criticism right now?
Yes, sir.
This is going forward, and you didn't do it a lot, but never drop a consonant. Okay, so for example, winning is never winning, or going is never going. Always get that G in there. Always.
Sir. Yeah, my dad was talking to me about this last night.
So. Okay, never drop a consonant. All right, that's but you're right. You're at WVU. Okay.
Hey, how dare you?
Sorry. I'm not talking about the school as much as the region.
It's an award-winning institution.
WVU, I know they have a 200-level class in consonant dropping.
Okay, thank you. And the other thing, the like word is not your friend, all right? Fight it. Fight it like you would be in the octagon yourself. You take that like, and that's the opponent across the way. You don't use that when you're talking. Like is the enemy, and that will be, and you will skyrocket. I think he's doing great. I think this is a phenomenal segment on the show, and I am proud of you, even though you're not mine. I've watched you grow up. I've watched you play basketball. I've seen you as a little bitty, and man, oh, man, this warms my heart to have you. I wish you nothing but the best. If you've got something you want to promote for the podcast or MMA, or you just want to drop in on a Zoom call, you're carte blanche. Anytime you want. You want to tell a funny story? I don't care. You were great on the show, and I would love to have you come back anytime you want to come back. Can you do that for us?
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that.
All right, now say hi to your girlfriend.
Hi, Blakelyn. I love you.
What's your name?
Blakelyn.
Blakelyn.
Blakelyn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What kind of name is that?
It's a great name for a great lady.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Maybe he dropped a consonant. Awesome.
No, I don't think he did. Robert, I love
so it's
you.
Blakeling?
Blakeling? Stop it. Robert, I love you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. This was awesome.
Any message for your father before we let you go?
I love you. Drive home safe.
You rock, Connor. Bravo.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks again.
See you later.
That's Robert Spiewak III, ladies and gentlemen. We have to take a break. And when we return, we'll talk to, everything about, we'll do the news and then we'll talk to Oscar.
It's fun.
What the hell is going on today? Anyway, we'll be right back with more fun and more.
Well, it's because Oscar refuses to share the airwaves with two Spiewaks.
Yes, I understand. I understand, Bruce. We'll be back with the homepage right here. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Get to know Legacy Box.
Yes.
The ultimate solution for preserving your precious memories. Don't let your box of old home movies deteriorate in a hot, damp, musty box this summer. Legacy Box, they have a Save Your Tape sale going on now. You can easily access and protect all those memories forever for only $9 per tape. It's like magic. Simply send in your Legacy Box. It's filled with VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures that fade in the heat. Heat is not a friend of that type of stuff. Remember that. Their professional team will digitize everything, and then they will return it to you. They'll do that on a thumb drive or in the cloud, along with your original items. Experience the amazing feeling of bringing your past into the present and preserving it for the future. We've all used Legacy Box, and we all love it. You can't put a price on memories, and hot and musty boxes are for the birds, baby.
Look at these. Oh, man. I got to get all my my pictures of my
Jackie bucket. Stallone Super 8 movies.
Look at that. What's going on? Hold on a second. I'm playing with my computer right now.
Okay, Jackie. Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Sylvester's mother, you know.
I missed the thing I'm supposed to tell you here. Don't let this summer's heat age your videotapes, film reels, and fade your photos. Visit LegacyBox.com/TMOS to shop their $9 tape sale. That's LegacyBox.com/TMOS to unlock this incredible offer. It is meant to be, ladies and gentlemen.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
Mike O'Mara.
Whoops, sorry about that. That's what I meant.
What's going on? Oscar's talking to Mac during the intro. What the hell is happening? My God. Let's start, shall we?
Let's go.
Okay. Let's get this straight first. So Oscar gets his, what do you need, the level fixed?
Yeah,
your headphone level?
He fixed it. Can you turn it up just a little bit, Mac? That should be done before the show, please.
Okay. The Emmy nominees were announced yesterday, and as usual, HBO...
And mute yourself, for God's sakes. Jesus.
What's going on today?
I don't know.
The Emmy nominees were announced yesterday, and as usual, HBO had the most, with 127. More than half of those, 74 to be exact, came from just three shows. Succession got the most nominations of any show. 27 nominations. It was followed by The Last of Us. I like The Last of Us.
I didn't watch it.
But I think it's a little
overrated. The Last of Us was great.
It was great, but I don't think it was like
not as great as Succession.
No. House of the Dragon. I didn't watch anybody. Did any of you guys watch House of the Dragon? I didn't watch it.
Which one was that?
That was the sequel to Game of Thrones, wasn't it?
Oh, I watched it. It was terrible.
Oh, it was horrible. Boo. Wasn't that what
we watched it.
Yeah.
We talked about it. It was so terrible.
Yellow Jackets, pretty good show.
Yes.
I don't think I've watched the second. They have a second season.
Yeah,
right,
I've watched them all. It always leaves you wanting just a little more. It doesn't quite get there, but it always
brought
me back.
I just realized we're going to dive into that tonight.
Good.
I love the fact that I've missed that. The best comedy nominees, Abbott Elementary, Barry, The Bear, Jury Duty. The Bear, like about the cooking show?
Yeah.
Is that a comedy?
I think shows choose the ways they can submit themselves, and that might be a political move, because you know
Jury
you're not going to win against Succession.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Only Murders in the Building, your favorite.
I love that.
And Ted Lasso and Wednesday.
Oh, Ted will walk away
Adam's
with it.
Adam's Family one. You think Ted will win
absolutely.
That one?
Absolutely. Local
last
favorite.
Season. We'll see what happens. Mandy Moore is the latest victim of porch pirates.
Oh, no.
And she's got the security footage to prove it. A stroller she ordered for her 9-month-old son.
A stroller she ordered for her 9-month-old son.
I brung you some dynamite.
Was stolen outside her home in Los Angeles. Mandy says, quote, "People are the worst." I'm with you, Mandy.
You know, she's really upset because her child was in it.
Stop it.
That's God, just that a joke.
She said, "People are the worst. I was going back and forth with customer service and FedEx, and I swore to them it wasn't delivered, and then I found this video. This dude watched for an hour while the box sat outside and then climbed a side of a hill to snag them."
What a creep.
That's creepy. Yeah, well, it's creepy, creepy. Don't they have Hollywood people have...
Yeah, I'm surprised that she would have a porch that is accessible.
Unless it's that house like... what's that movie with Samuel L. Jackson as the cop that lives next door to the mixed marriage, the mixed race couple, and he's a bad cop and he's an evil guy.
I'll pull it up.
And they've got like a fire going on while this is, and he's got a lot of hills around there where they could sneak in. I'm just rambling now.
I know what movie you're talking about.
Sincere apologies. Yeah. No matter what you think of Tom Cruise, you can't accuse him of not putting in the work. On Tuesday, he attended Mission Impossible premieres in D.C. Tom Cruise is in D.C.
at the Regal Cinemas I was at.
He went there?
He went to that theater.
You missed him by 24 hours.
I missed him by 4 hours. He went to the matinee.
The next day?
No, the same day.
The same day Tom Cruise was there?
When they went boop, boop at the front, the gentleman was like, "Tom was just here." And I was like, "This guy."
What time did you go?
This guy.
What time did you go when you went to Sears?
Our movie was at 6:30.
Oh, if you'd gone in the daytime.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your fabulous work ethic has screwed you again.
And he literally said, the usher said, "Tom was just here." I'm like, come on, man.
Tom.
I can't believe you didn't mention that.
Well, I didn't see him. He was okay. There earlier.
That's cool.
Yeah.
This is what the guy does. This is what he does on Tuesday. He goes to premieres. This is the truth.
Yes.
DC, mm-hmm. Miami, Atlanta, and Toronto on the same day. And then, Oscar's little review yesterday got Michael O'Mara and Michael William O'Mara into the theater yesterday. I'll talk about that in a second.
You know, that is amazing because the way theater tickets cost now, that's a really good commitment.
Yeah, he charged a fortune. In Atlanta, he told the crowd, quote, "Hope you enjoy the film because we made it for you." That's my tongue.
That's good.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, which I should have probably paid attention to because I didn't realize, you mean there's a whole second one coming? Because, I was a little bummed.
Keep track, Mike, of Ethan Hunt. He's always up to something.
Yeah, great movie. I enjoyed it. For that genre, it's as good as it gets for me. I had a great time.
Patton raved about it on Twitter.
It was fun.
Yeah.
A website called Numerator followed the top Prime Day purchases by tracking tens of thousands of customers and over 100,000 orders. Here are a few stats. What we bought and how much we spent. The number one seller, TMOS Fruitcake Future.
Love it.
Fantastic.
Absolute. No, I'm sorry. I wish it was true. The hottest item this year was apparently Temptations Cat Treats. What's wrong with America? That's based on the number of units purchased. Temptation Cat Treats.
Was it like a super deal or something?
Prime Day isn't what it used to be.
No.
So
I don't even know what it is.
Let's build a customer persona of who shops on Prime Day 13 years after Prime Day was popular.
I'm guessing it's someone who wears a lot of sweats.
How about a nice massive discount on a MacBook, on the new MacBook Air?
That has...
great.
That have kittens. Right?
Yeah.
They have multiple kittens.
They do.
Not sweater kittens, but a sweater.
You know,
and
tomorrow,
kitten.
Mike, it's time we should announce it, is TMOS Prime Day, where if you Very buy exciting. 3 fruitcakes, we'll deliver them to you at the regular price.
That's exciting. The rest of the top 5, Amazon Fire Sticks Liquid IV Hydration Packet.
That's awesome.
Packets.
Big win. I take everything back.
Because they advertise on the Mike O'Mara Show, and you should too. Toys from the company Melissa and Doug, and beauty products by the brand Laneige.
Mike, doesn't every girl and boy deserve a toy?
Everybody does. But how about that Liquid IV? Isn't
That's
that
amazing.
Spectacular?
Yeah. Big winner.
And now, for all of you living on the surface of the sun, 10 tips that are oversimplified for you to stay cool.
Oh, this will be great. Helpful, too.
Listen to this. Researchers did painstaking scientific study.
I buy that.
To come up with this for you. Because you might be too stupid to know it yourself.
Oh, dear.
All right?
Yes.
The people that put together this list scoured the globe with mindless, simple, obvious tips that they could share with you on a website you can eat.
You can eat.
Number 10, put a wet towel on your head.
Hold it.
Duh.
You mean you take a towel.
You got it. Thank you. Number 9, sleep in something breathable like cotton.
Oh. That helps.
By the way, there are 2 sleep recommendations, and they contradict each other.
This is weird. I'm not going to wear the wetsuit anymore.
This is one without a lot of detail, but it says take a frozen bottle of water to bed.
Look out.
I don't know what the hell they want you to do with it, but put it between 2 pillows? Drink out of it? Really, what do you do with it? Where are you supposed to put it? Behind your head?
Maybe so you have something chilly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Number 7, use multiple fans strategically positioned. Like maybe blowing on me.
Oh, I thought you meant like having Dirk and Merle Rogers over.
They put on my bed.
That's funny.
They're big fans.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Carla.
Drink something hot like coffee or tea. Studies have found that that can actually cool you down.
I've heard this.
Okay. Cold showers, that's another one. Close windows and curtains to keep cool air in. Huge down here. Our house is a mausoleum. We have everything pulled. All the drapes are pulled down. Otherwise, it'll roast. Sleep naked or in your underwear. Well, that goes against the sleep in something breathable. Which is it? Breathable or naked?
Mike, if it's cotton underwear, it breathes.
No, but that I'm talking totally naked.
Well, I don't think that's appropriate.
Twig and berries rubbing on the sheets.
Oh.
Where'd you get the nickname Skids?
We got to wash the sheets
new
again.
New skid sheets. Hi, I'm Mike O'Mara. You know what? Sleeping was a hassle. That's why I invented skids.
Are they disposable sheets?
They are now.
The one and done sheet for the modern incontinent man. Has wiping become too much? Anyway, number two, eat ice cream. Oh, I wish it didn't put weight on you. I'd do that every night. I'd eat ice cream in bed every night if I could.
Would you have it brought to you or would you bring it in?
I'd have it brought to me. In my fantasy world where I get to eat ice cream,
yes.
Or like Sundays, ice cream treats,
aww.
I'd go to bed fully clothed and
in
like
cotton.
Shoes and everything. And then I'd have my man, servant, come over, take my shoes off and take my clothes off and then put a tray over me or just position my bed, my sleep number bed in a specific way.
Yes.
Specific. And then eat ice cream.
Didn't
would it be served up in a bowl or would you eat it out of the carton?
A bowl, about.
Of course.
This isn't shocking. Remember, he had like that cartoon sized steak in
bed. A steak dinner in bed. Yes.
Oh man, sunny days. And number one, drink.
I don't think they were.
No. Number one is drink lots of stuff with ice in it. How's that work?
That's. I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Ice is cold. Yeah. And now a little something something. We're assuming this was a guest. Hopefully not the groom. Cops in Iowa. We love you, Iowa. They got a report this month about a man lying in the middle of the intersection around 4 in the morning. When they got there, they found 25-year-old Lane Schruers still passed out in the middle of the road. He'd obviously been drinking and was so out of it he was snoring. By the way, this was a major highway. On one section of the intersection.
Okay.
When they woke him up, he explained he'd just come from a wedding reception at a golf resort and casino nearby. He admitted that he'd had a lot to drink that night. The resort is 3 minutes from where they found him. I'm sorry, 3 miles from where they found him.
Wow.
And there's no mention of a DUI, so he apparently decided to walk home, and he got a little tired along the way.
Sure.
The good news, he woke up in time to listen to the KCJJ Morning Show with Captain Steve and Jim Hunter and Tommy Lang and Tom Suter and Sacco and Vanzetti and the Bee Gees. We'll be right back.
See, you don't need a machine.
No, I was looking at it though.
See, I know
me looking
were.
At it, I was like, going,
I saw.
Which button? Discover the ultimate solution for your financial planning with Fabric by Gerber Life's quick and easy life insurance policies. In just 10 minutes, you can customize a quote and you can secure coverage of up to $1 million for less than a dollar a day. Plus, enjoy the peace of mind that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and the flexibility to cancel anytime. Don't leave your family's future to chance. Take action and get Fabric by Gerber Life today. Fabric was designed by parents for parents, and it helps you get a high-quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. You could be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required. Protect your family today with Fabric by Gerber Life. Apply today in just 10 minutes at meetfabric.com/TMOS. That's meetfabric.com/TMOS. MEET fabric.com/TMOS. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. All right, I had to. I came in with a lead, but we had Robert on the show, so I wanted to share this with you now.
Okay.
Earlier, either last week or the beginning of this week, remember when I came in here and I was telling you about the snake and
yes.
how
yeah, Jake.
Carla hates the snake, Jake,
correct.
And Michael now no longer says to me, I don't think Michael wants the snake anymore, and I got pissed off because, I mean, all I've been doing is taking care of this thing, and then I'm telling you guys, well, hey, it's another day where the snake doesn't have it. And I finally, yesterday was the only day of the week where I don't have my extremely grueling and sort of valuable golf schedule. Hey, down to a 10.3, okay?
Yeah, you know we learned that about is? That during your monologue yesterday.
Yeah, you know what that is? knocking on the door of a single digit, happier than I've ever been. Thought my back would prevent me from ever playing again. This is my air guitar finger that I'm using right now.
Have you ever been in the single digits before?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course I have.
Well, don't get all haughty
about
it.
Shut your mouth. Of course
I have. Yeah.
Well, how long ago was that?
1948 with my pal Ben Hogan.
No, really.
I was in the car that he crashed when he hurt his back, and I was ejected and laid in the grass. We were drinking old granddad bourbon.
The Ben Hogan accident.
I'm rambling now.
Legendary. How many years ago were you in the single digits?
Definitely.
Did the year start?
04 would be 04. I was in the 8-9 probably.
Wow. I didn't know
I was up to a 13, by the way.
That's
almost
great.
A 14. Not
that's
this
how
year.
Fickle this.
Yeah. Do you lose credit if you don't golf
is.
Often?
No.
Like if you
rolling average of 20 scores.
Okay, so not any time.
All right. Let me stop talking about golf. Talk about the snake. So you know when I came in, I said I'm neglecting the snake. I'm worried about the snake.
Yes. Nobody loves the snake.
I'm concerned about the snake. Blah blah blah. So yesterday, Michael is a little under the weather. I don't know where he picked it up. Maybe on the plane coming back, but. You know, what was their plan? We talked about it on the show. Their plan is to go to the beach. And I'm like, no. Heat index of 107 without shade. It's just not something that I think with his cold and his physical condition, I just didn't feel like doing it.
And also, besides, they drop the ball on planning when they do
that. Well, look, today's a phenomenal day. Today's off to... At the place we went to, I believe. I believe they're going to that Gatorama place.
Oh, oh sweet. Cool.
Is there anything more fun for a 9-year-old than going to handle
it.
Gators?
Maybe one of the instructors will get into a tussle with the gator.
Yeah, Goliath. Wow. Remember Goliath?
Yeah.
That'll be gator wrestling. So
Gator-rific.
Yesterday I have a full day. I taped the show early, and I've got the day, and I'm like, I haven't spent a lot of time with him since we got back anyway, so this is a chance to do that. And then the plan was, I said, I'll take you out to the football field and, you know, we'll just run around, throw the ball together. That'll be it. And then I got to go. Then we have to go get a small mouse, a large mouse or a small rat for Jake.
When did he make the jump to rats?
Small rats he can handle now. No problem at all.
Okay.
But we also were going to stop down at Mama's new facility, which we did. And then we got there. And in the meantime, I'm like, Oscar had raved about Mission Impossible, and I'm like, matinee. What better activity on a 110-degree heat index day than to go into a theater and watch this movie? So I check it out. It's at our favorite place, this Prado joint, where they have the big seats and you can recline.
Oh, it's like Alamo, but your version of
says,
Alamo, yeah.
And he says, in fairness to him, and I was going to go along with him, he says, Dad, I'd really rather throw the ball. I'm like, you know what? Amen. That's cool. Then he thought about it. It's a new Mission Impossible, kind of a grown-up movie, right?
Yeah, big deal.
Okay. And he switches. And I'm like, fine, we'll go to Mama's, grab the rat, and we will zoom back. I'll drop it in the rat's enclosure, and we are off. So that's what we did. And
you say it very matter-of-factly, but you had to be excited that he agreed to the movie.
Yeah, because I didn't want to be out on the I didn't want to be out on the outside in general.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can handle it early in the morning if I'm out on a golf course because I know how to do it. But out there at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon,
it's inside time. Mm-hmm.
So the matinee, as we were talking about, was 1:30, and I beat feet, but we got to really hustle and every friggin' light in the world and. I drop the little tiny rat. Jake dispatches the rat, and then we're off.
Did you stay and watch the killing of the rat?
I always do.
Of course.
That's your favorite part. He made us watch it. Remember?
I know. Yeah, it was very upsetting.
Watch this, guys.
All right. Yeah.
Rob,
so
come back.
Anywho, here's the deal.
Yes.
We come home. Was Mama home yet? I don't think so. I think she arrived about an hour after we got home. All right. And then everybody's tired. Mom's tired. I'm tired.
You stayed awake? You didn't fall asleep? Theater,
I didn't
perfect
fall,
nap,
I didn't,
nap room
no,
time.
No. You know what? I went out for maybe 2 minutes, and then came to, and it was compelling enough where...
Probably too loud to get a good nap.
Oh, so loud. So beautifully loud.
Mm-hmm.
I love my movies loud. Loud's fine.
Yeah.
Bring it on. I love that. So it was compelling. I like the special effects. I look forward to that one particular stunt where he goes off the mountain. I'm really excited about that.
Was this
that,
the right? first adult movie you've ever taken your son to?
Taken him to? Probably yes.
Right?
Taken him to? Showed him an adult movie, but you know.
I remember when my father took me
so wrong.
To the
a grown-up movie.
Okay,
the Silver
better.
Spring Theater.
Uh-huh.
And he took me to see a James Bond movie. That was my first movie I ever went with my father, and I remembered it for to this day I remember it.
Do you remember which?
It was
that,
like
Bond
the Living
flick?
Daylights in the
it's
theater.
It's funny you mentioned because Dalton, I can tell you all of my father's movies that I went to. Ice Station Zebra, Tora, 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 and then one other that probably wasn't a war type movie, yeah. But it was so much fun.
But you remember how cool it is.
It's cool.
Oh, I like you've told me what the third movie is. It's The Birdcage.
The Birdcage. Oscar, I don't think it's the same for him because there's so much out there. Yeah. You know, it's different even when you went to the movies with your dad. So we get home and everybody's tired, cranky a little bit. You know, I'm sitting there. And then Michael's just copping a real tooth, like to the point where I'm not liking it. Yeah. And we, you know how kids get. They get nasty sometimes and I'm not happy, especially with the whole day. I thought I'd give him a pretty good day.
Yeah.
And Mama comes home and she's wiped. And, immediately dives into her social media to do her business, which she does. And it's fine. It's our world. It's what we do. And then Michael comes running out in with his bad attitude and says, Jake escaped again. Dad left the top off the enclosure. Oh, yeah. I said, all right. Chill out.
Again.
Are you? And relax. Like an idiot, I go, yeah, again.
Again, Dad.
Because I was beating feet to get to the movie.
Sure.
I fed him, I watched him dispatch, and then I just forgot.
Like a jailbreak.
I forgot to put the, and this time.
Greatest
I go
day ever for Jake.
Now, what these ball pythons are known for is they are escape artists.
Mm-hmm.
They love, if you leave it open, they're out. They're going to get out of there. They'll know that it's off, and they'll do that. And then I look in the same spot. He was up halfway in the closet the last time.
Right, I remember.
It's dark. They go for a place they can hide. Mm-hmm. Well, I find that out later. And nowhere to be found.
So he's not in the closet.
He's not in the closet.
Oh.
He's not anywhere in the bedroom where I can see. Mm-hmm. We look under the bed. We look under the dresser. We look under the nightstand that he has. We look under his computer. He's got a tiny room jammed with furniture.
Yeah.
With all his devices that he's got in there and all his crap. The sports crap, cleats, everything I'm moving around. And then I go to the internet to say, where do they hide? And I do a deep dive. And
Chat
it's pretty
GPT.
Useful.
Where so they will immediately try. Jake go?
They will immediately try to find a dark, cool place.
Yes.
And I'm just not giving up on his room because I just have it in my mind that it's in there somehow. And then Carlos like, well, I don't want the snake. I said, I know you don't want the snake anyway. I'm right now just trying to find the creature. Would you please help me?
So is her solution just to let it go and live and
no,
be done with
her
it?
Her solution is just for me to find it.
Okay.
And I say, you have the flexibility, up, down, that I don't have. Yet, please help me with this.
Up,
and
down.
Then, so when she comes over, I said, all right, one place that we haven't looked behind his dresser, mm-hmm. behind that's smashed up against the wall, really heavy,
yeah.
All his clothes are in it. And I see her go over. I said, well, give me the flashlight. Give me your phone. She looks down and she goes, Doga! And I know she's found it.
Yeah.
And there he is. We move it away.
You could have just taken the drawers out, probably.
Yeah, I know. I know that. But right now we're just trying to move it a little bit to see if he was there. And there he was. I move it off from the
wall. You also care for him. You want to make sure he's okay.
I care for him. I don't want him to be smashed by anything. And by the way, Carla and Michael are like throwing stuff around. Oh, that's fine. You know, let the Nerf gun fall on his head and kill him. That's cool. Aww. No problem at all. And then Carla finds the thing and she goes,
dramatic.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I get it. Put it back in the enclosure. Peace on the planet.
That's great.
Yeah.
Did he react to being found?
reacted better to being a 64-year-old father that is too old to be doing what he's doing with his life.
You're the hero.
Yeah. You are a hero.
I really felt like it last night. Then I went to, spent the rest of my night being unappreciated.
Yeah, it was
which is how I spend most of them, you know?
Jake Protocol.
Full Jake Protocol, yeah.
But also, you know, little dement, you know, little dementa. You know, not finding the enclosure. We'll be right back. Oh, that's right. My turn. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Oh, my God. Shut up. All this talking. What the hell is wrong with me? Yep. Yeah, Dermglow. It's a wonderful product.
Oh, Mike. Come
Do you
on.
Appreciate it?
What?
Do you appreciate it?
Yeah. Yeah. Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Unless you have Dermglow, it's a pity. Time to focus on your left hairy t-
What?
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sorry. Time to focus on your face.
Hey.
Turn the music down when I'm doing music. Okay. Doesn't work.
All right. I thought it did.
All the way. Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Unless you have Dermglow, it's a pity. Time to focus on your face looking pretty. Thank you.
Perfect.
No, I don't want to hear that again.
He said what? No music.
So no music at all for the spot?
Dermglow has everything in one place. Attention, fellas. Mike's packages are still on sale. And ladies, get Carla's beauty bundle. Mm. It's wonderful. You'll love it. Please enjoy. She also gives skin consultations. You will like it. Visit DermglowSkin.com today. The ultimate facial boutique featuring facials and products by the pampering esthetician who hates snakes. She's the best esthetician. Reach out today and tell them that popular 1950s golfer Carrie Middlecoff sent you.
That's fine.
Poor Carrie. No one seems to remember that his 39 tour wins has him tied for 10th all time, and he was a dentist. Oh, God. Oh, for the
He was a great golfer, this Carrie Middlecoff.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Rob,
yes.
It says here you have identified your problem.
I think
and
I have.
With Oscar being angry, there can be no better time for you to discuss your problem, because this will be probably a good time to discuss.
I'm not right? angry.
It is my...
I'm happy.
There is something...
You are lying.
there was a trending term on the internet that made me click on it, and it's kidult.
Kidult?
Kidult.
What's a kidult?
K-I-D-U-L-T. It's an
adult.
You
mean like you're a grown-up, but like you have the mind of a kid?
Yeah.
You like kid
Are you
things.
A kid at heart? Yeah, absolutely. And I started reading the list of signs about being a kidult, and it's horrifyingly accurate.
For you.
Yes, it is. This could be part of my problem.
Okay.
All right. Number one, you rewatch a lot of old movies or shows from your childhood. Ding.
Okay. I'll give that to you. All right, now you got something. You're onto something. I don't.
Okay. You still watch cartoons. I do.
You still watch cartoons?
Sure. I have all of the Looney Tunes on DVD.
It doesn't count for me because they're on in the background for my
Yeah, but,
I
but
it, watch them on my
just own. For a second here.
Yeah.
You just watch them or you have the DVDs?
Oh, I watch them occasionally. I mean, I'll get out and I'll pull out my favorite ones.
And so you just sit there
and watch them
in your 50s
mm-hmm.
and turn them on purpose?
Yeah.
For just you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And number three.
Oh, wow.
You're okay. frequently nostalgic for old toys or products from when you were a kid.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
True?
Yeah, I think most people
course.
Like that.
Yeah. I still I have a Starbird still.
What's a Starbird?
It was one of my favorite toys as a boy. It's a rocket ship or a spaceship
that's
that
it?
Makes space sounds.
Yeah, but you don't take it out and play with it, do you?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I collect Transformers.
But I'm nostalgic for it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
okay. Well, then that's your
I'm a guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
All right, number four, you quote movies and shows from when you were young, constantly.
I think we all do,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I think I'm that's the first one, though, for me. That's the first one where I would, because Caddyshack count, because I do it
Yeah,
constantly.
You do great.
Yeah, but also you do watch old movies. So you kind of link in on number one as well.
Well, explain, but it was phrased differently. How was
you
the,
rewatch a lot of old movies or shows from your childhood?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. There All we right. go. That's true. I'll give myself a ding on that.
Five. You found yourself Googling old toys or products from your youth.
Not really, no.
I have, absolutely.
To buy them or to sell them?
Both, and also just to see what's up with them. Or did
Trouble
I remember
count?
It right?
Does Trouble the Game count?
I think so, yeah.
Not only did Trouble's, I Google it.
Ubiquitous, I think, in any household, right?
Just so play? Just I did it to play, and we played it up in Maine and stuff like that.
And you
that.
Didn't Google it, you just bought it.
But you definitely do it.
Yeah.
No, I Googled it, too, because I wanted to find where I could buy it. So I that see. Doesn't count.
Yeah, like if I remember something from my youth, I will Google it and see, does it still exist? What happened to it? Why isn't it around?
Yeah, I'll find something at home and then see how much I can sell it for.
I've done that.
Totally different.
And
different.
I've also been told to do that.
Oh.
Number six, you still wear clothes that would have been back in style then or t-shirts with nostalgic references. I wear t-shirts, nostalgic references all the time.
That was more like a weight thing though, right?
No, I still have them. Still wear them.
Why are you laughing? I thought that's what he told us one time.
Funny.
Yeah.
It
just
right? He was
funny.
Like, I just wear these Ghostbusters shirts because they're big man shirts.
Because it's the only Quad X in the, on the, on, you know.
He told us as much.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like
but
it's
you
gone
do.
Away.
You do. You do, and I don't. I don't.
Yeah, you don't at all.
I don't think a Giants t-shirt counts.
No, and
it's
and
modern,
also,
it's modern stuff.
You've stayed fairly modern in your day to day. You don't wear stuff that was like popular in the 70s.
No, I like the new.
Yeah, you do. Number seven. You still have your old video games. This is one that does not apply to me because I don't do video games.
Yeah, I mean, I have all my, at least for me, every single system I ever had in our household, I still have, and it still works. Like the Atari. Wow.
Okay, then you're
the
Sega. Kid old. There's
I don't have
kid
them hooked up,
too.
But they're in my office.
What kind of cartridges there's a lot of kid do you have?
With games?
Yeah, for the Atari 2600.
All the OGs.
Yeah. Tetris?
No, that
wasn't on Atari.
Tetris came to the console. You could, I mean,
Carla has an old.
Let me give you the most obscure game I found.
Okay,
like FIFA 96.
I bet the graphics are great,
and the cartridge it looks terrible. The graphics are terrible,
but it works.
We have, and you know what? Very on brand for the Latin household.
All right, number eight. You display at least one childhood toy in your home or office. So many that I display.
I have
thousands.
Oscar's.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, you're both kid alts.
No,
so
but
more than me.
But Rob, I don't know if I told you this, Mike. You might have been on vacation when I described my experience after breaching the perimeter at the SpeeWax after knowing him
party,
for almost 20
It made an impression
years.
On you. I know that.
It was so beautiful and meticulous.
Yeah, you were complaining that. How can his life and the house be so organized? Yeah.
Yes. I was that's
it's
what baffled
me. It's an either or, Mike.
It baffled me because his radio, they're not dusty. They're like perfect.
Everything's where it's supposed
everything.
To be.
And when he was giving Shannon and I the tour, he knew that somebody had touched one of his figurines and he fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like into its position where it should be. Right?
Not a mental patient at all.
Yeah.
His very DVD collection looked beautiful.
But right now, and you're kind of envious with that, right?
Well, I'm envious because if you can bring that much control and detail into your fun life.
Mike threw a hook in the water and pulled a huge fish out, just what he was looking for.
I wish I was.
If 20% of that could be applied elsewhere.
That's all.
Rob,
20%. You can do it.
Okay.
You can do it.
I agree.
Come on.
I agree.
All right. What else is on your list?
You'd rather stay in and play board games than go out to eat or hit a bar?
No chance.
I am a stay-at-home guy.
Okay. I thought we were going to lose you
for a
second.
I thought you were going to talk and I was going to be able to get some water.
No, I'm just, where are you on that one? I'm very, very curious.
I like to go out to eat, but also, you know what? I like to stay at home. I do like to play games.
So if you had a choice, on average, you would stay home and play board games?
All things equal, maybe.
If you didn't have your kids.
Then I'd go out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Then I'm not giving you a ding for that.
All right, thank you. And finally, number 10, you've bought your kids at least one toy you had as a child.
That's a yes for you?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
What'd you get your son?
I don't buy my kids gifts. No, I mean my
Oscar
son.
Oscar gifts are for winners.
No, my kid now for his. Why am I whispering? He's
yeah.
My kid now wants an IKEA gaming desk. He says his gaming desk is too flimsy, which is right. I've used a flimsy desk for the podcast, and I know what he's talking about.
Just got a. take a few wood screws. His desk is beautiful. It's got LED lights built into it.
Yeah,
it's
gorgeous. Can tighten it up.
You don't like it. I don't like it. I think it looks like crap.
You know, if you buy the IKEA, you're going to have to put it together, and there's every chance it'll be flimsy
again. I don't know if we have an IKEA within half an hour of here, or an hour.
Where do you get your meatballs?
They'll deliver it to your house.
They will deliver it? Yeah. Can I get it by his birthday next week?
Of course.
Really?
You order it now?
You might have to pay a premium, my friend.
I'll check, but it's cheap. It's IKEA, so maybe I'll be lucky. All right.
Yeah, and have them send some meatballs.
I don't buy him toys that he likes. No, I really don't. I buy what he wants. The modern stuff.
So what is he into right now?
Gaming.
Just gaming? Because he did the World
gaming
War II thing for a while.
Gaming and sports. Okay. He now will easily rattle off NFL starters and MLB starters and FIFA and all that stuff. He will rattle
that
off.
He's going to fit in. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely ad nauseum he will do that. Proud of him the way.
You'd love him if he was rattling off all the D&D rules as well, right?
You know what? Let me just tell you this: the attitude he demonstrated at his football practice in the 95 degree heat the other night was spectacular. I learned about him right there. Football practices are no joke. Any conditioning practice in any kind of weather you see, he has been doing this bit since he was a little one. This isn't a segment I can just throw this in.
All right.
Where he will get, you might have seen him do this if you were at the house for a while, which you were, where he gets on all fours and he does this crawl walk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a monster across.
Yeah.
So they got a drill. They got a drill with 25 other kids there where they set up the tackling dummies and they're about 8 feet apart. And you have to do the crawl walk up to these mounds and then you high step over the mound. He waxed everybody.
Of course, he's been practicing his whole life.
3-point stance.
Oh my God, these kids are going, yeah, yeah. And Michael goes, voom, like that.
Yeah, he
and
looks then like doing the exorcist down the steps.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's like a horror movie.
Yes.
And I reacted to it and he kept doing it forever. But anyway, so that's it with the kids?
Yeah, so I guess I'm a kidult.
All right, you're a kidult. I'm a kidult. We're all kidults. We are. And Mac.
And we're broken.
Mac is a kidinfant. An adultfant.
No, indult.
He's an infidel.
Infidel.
An infidel. An infidel. That's it. We'll be right back with the flip side. Whether you're heading out on a road trip or rushing through the airport, why not skip the usual stress of vacation travel? You know, why stress out? It's tough to go to an airport. Mm-hmm. It is.
I hate it.
If you're going somewhere great, it's a drag. Skip the usual stress of vacation travel and chill out with Dadgrass. All their products, yes, they are TSA approved.
Love
people. It's true. We're not making that up. Dadgrass is legal organic smokable hemp that relaxes your body and it mellows your mind. What they have is 100% organic pre-rolled joints that are very low in THC and high in CBD, so you can enjoy the effects of cannabis while keeping a clear head. Chill out without getting stoned. It's like having a glass of wine, you just don't drink the whole bottle. Dadgrass also offers the finest tinctures and gummies on the market. I've tried the gummies, they're fantastic. All the mellow goodness, no smoke required. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Plus, it's TSA approved. We are not making that up. Right now, Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/TMOS. And thank you, Dadgrass.
Hello. Roll over. Rolling.
Let me roll it. The flip side. I know we all watched the ESPYs last night.
I actually did.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Mike, did you?
I did not have the opportunity. No, I was super, super sleepy.
The greatest moment, as everyone was talking about this morning, is that Damar Hamlin presented the Pat Tillman Award to the Bills training staff.
Saw a clip of it today.
And it's just so sweet.
Please welcome this year's recipient of the Pat Tillman Award for Service, the training staff of the Buffalo Bills.
He was so emotional.
He was. It was great.
So real.
Okay. My name is Nate Bresky. I'm the head athletic trainer for the Buffalo Bills. If
By the grace of God and divine intervention, we had the best outcome we could have prayed for or imagined. Damar, first and foremost, thank you for staying alive, brother. Thank you. The response to Damar's injury was able to bring our nation together for a moment and show the world the power of prayer. Mm-hmm. Let's remember that feeling of unity and use it to make sure we can save the next life, too.
Pretty great.
A nice message, too. Fantastic. And it was one of those moments that just happened. A lot of people watching the game. A lot of people.
And you know, LeBron's coming back, too.
It just was a great story. God, we remember how we needed that story at that particular moment? Mm-hmm. I love that. I really did.
Mike, let's say you live in Montana. And let's further say you have a chicken coop. And let's further say that you're having trouble because a grizzly bear keeps getting in your chicken coop. So this is a problem. So what you do is you call animal control. They sedate the bear, put him in an enclosure, and get ready to release him. What they don't expect is when they release him from the enclosure, he goes straight for the camera that you set up to film the grizzly getting out of the enclosure.
Oh.
I mean, it is dead on. He attacks. And if you ever wondered what it might sound like.
Is there somebody behind the camera or is it just
set up? No one was hurt. The camera was set up. But you might wonder what it might sound like if you were attacked by a grizzly bear. Sounds like this.
Okay. Okay, you're running?
Yeah.
The breathing is what got me.
Yeah, I mean, they're terrifying animals. They really are.
They're just supposed to be big, right?
So big. They are so violent. You know, that movie, The Revenant, I think does a pretty good CGI version of what that must be like.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen enough of them, and they're just
there he is. Different. He looks sweet.
Bears are scary anyway. Even a black bear up in Maine. They got a big sow up there. That's what they call, I think it's the... it's the term for one of the big adult bears.
Okay, a pig is a sow, and so is a bear.
They've got a sow up there that has been shot probably 5 to 10 steps from my house.
Wow.
On this open field that we have up there. And, people, you have to be aware of them, especially if there are babies around.
I have this false sense of, I guess, I believe in myself enough to think that I'll do the Three Stooges to a bear, and then he'll run away. Mm-hmm. I'll just poke him in the eyes.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. But in the Three Stooges, when they I remember the episode, the bear drove away in their car. Mike, someone's getting fired in Philadelphia today because the social media for the Philadelphia Flyers left a mic live during a press conference, and the people that run the social media commented on the Flyers beat reporter. Her name is Gianna Hahn. And she asks a question that they're tired of hearing.
Hey, Garnet. I was just wondering, as a veteran with a relatively successful NHL career, what makes the Flyers, who are in a rebuild state, a destination that...
Hold on. What is she saying? I don't even get her question.
The
what?
Question is not important. She's talking about the current state of the way the Flyers are playing.
Okay. All
because right. it's doubled because it's part of the miswiring they have.
Got it.
So you'll hear what they say.
Right. How many times is she going to ask this f***ing question?
Yeah, there's
a lot. Oh, my God.
Let's roll that again.
What makes the Flyers, who are in a rebuild state, a destination that is designed?
How many times is she going to ask this f***ing question?
Yeah, there's really a lot of things.
Also, you can hear someone in the background. It's hard to make out. Hear someone in the background of the social media office saying, Flyers suck. Why does anybody watch?
Wow. Philly, what's it to you? Hey.
So there's that going on. Let's close with this. Mike, happy to report to you today is National French Fry Day.
Yay.
Yeah, and it's a big deal.
I don't care.
You don't?
You love French fries.
French fries are great.
I do, but they're poison to me. They're poison. They go right to my boy. And I ate a lot of them up in Maine. I ate a lot of them when I could. I've had the coleslaw. I had the French fries.
I remember you took us to a place called Jordan's.
Yes,
and Jordan's. They do it a lobster roll with crinkle cut fries.
Oh yeah,
fantastic,
they do
really good.
Well, they've gone on the cheap now. They're selling chips.
Oh. Boo! Well, maybe they could bring it back for a French Friday. Here's Corey Rodriguez talking about something to consider.
Before today, I haven't been to McDonald's in like 6 or 7 months, and I was cleaning out my car, and I found some French fries in between the seats. Yes, and the fries look better than they did the day that I bought them. Huh? I was like, how is there no bacteria on these fries? You know how bad of a food you have to be for mold to be like, I don't eat that.
Mike, that's all I got for you. Happy French fry day.
That's it. We got to get out. Our thanks to Robert the Third, Robert Spiewak the Third, and please check him out. The website is right here. I've got it for you. It's MMAFightFeed.com or TikTok at MMAFightFeed. Thanks to Robert the Third for coming on.
Thank you.
We'll be back tomorrow with a bonus episode. Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Buy a fruitcake.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Nasty, vicious, drunk.
I think that your time is done, and I think that the spotlight should go on top of me. Yeah.
That's what that is, man. I'm telling you.
You are unstoppable.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
I'm beginning to see why your wife left you.